May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 418. To our Redeemer's glorious name, awake the sacred song. O may his love, immortal flame, tune every heart and tongue. Hymn 418.
Thank you. read together from the Word of God from two portions of Scripture. First reading from the prophecy of Hosea, chapter 2, and reading from verse 14 to the end. And then also the first 10 verses from Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. First reading from the prophecy of Hosea chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 14 to the end. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, the valley of Achor, for a door of hope. And she shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishai, and shalt call me no more Baalai. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me for ever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them, which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1, reading the first 10 verses. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace, from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance, and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. May the Lord bless those two portions of Scripture to us and help us in prayer. O Lord our God, once more we seek to approach unto Thee, once more to seek Thy face. O prepare our hearts, Lord Jesus, or that Thou wouldest fitly frame them, that we might be those indeed made acceptable unto Thee. And it is through the person of Thy dearly beloved Son, His blood and His righteousness, is our acceptance unto God the Father, and truly our reconciliation, that we are the children of God. Oh, what blessedness, Lord, is found in the gospel. A ruined sinner, a sinner far from God, alien to God, a stranger to God, corrupt and base, and yet, oh, the precious and blessed truths of the gospel, being made so suited to one who is so worthless, one so base, one so undone, and yet I will allure her. Oh, these wretched ones, these undone ones, these worthless ones, I will allure her. Oh, Lord, we do thank Thee for that alluring grace that came to us. And we thank Thee, Lord, for the blessedness of union and fellowship with Thee and in the means of grace at this time. O Lord, we do pray that we may each be drawn effectually and purposely to Thyself, that we might be blessed, Lord, this evening hour. Yes, Lord, those that had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Those, Lord Jesus, the lost and the ruined, and yet found and declared righteous in the righteousness of Christ. And, O Lord, we do thank Thee that we indeed were a people that were not a people, but are now the people of God. And what a mercy it is, Lord, that we can call Thee our God. Oh, do, Lord, we pray Thee, help us to worship Thee and help us to serve Thee this evening hour. And, Lord, before Thee at this time, Lord, all kinds of needs and all kinds of conditions, many that may feel themselves to be too far gone, many, Lord, that may be continually tempted, continually brought to feel the awfulness of their sin, never seeming to get any better. Lord, what a precious gospel Thine is. It is unto such. It is unto the sick ones. It is unto the lame ones. It is unto the destitute ones. And what a mercy to be brought to that place and to feel a need of Jesus. Do draw near, Lord, to this assembly of Thy people. Come to their needs once more, we pray. Incline their hearts to Thee. Bless them with hearing ears. And, Lord, may we be found in the Spirit on the Lord's day. pound at thy feet, Lord, ready to hear thy word. And Lord, it may be a word in season, Lord, a word to help us and a word to support us inwardly and spiritually in our souls. A word in season, Lord, a token of thine especial love, to bring us, Lord, near to thee, to cause us to rejoice again, that thou, Lord, art that one who doth shower down blessings from heaven and into the souls of thy people. O do, Lord, we pray, in shine into the hearts of each one of us this evening hour. And Lord, may we be blessed. And Lord, let thy word indeed unto us be that word that shall lead us and show to us our great need as sinners. And pray and thank thee, Lord, that there are blessings unto such. Thou didst not send away those publicans and harlots and sinners, that they came and ate with thee, but thou didst welcome them, Lord. Oh, the scribes and the Pharisees couldn't understand it, Lord. In their pride, in their arrogance, their self-righteousness, their works, oh, that, Lord, they would never feel a need of thee. They were those, indeed, Lord, that were far from thee, Lord, because they dwelt in their own self-righteousness. And, Lord, they were not sick. But, Lord, what a mercy it is if we are sick. Thou didst come unto such, and so, Lord, bless us. And Lord, if there are any that have come tonight that are not sick, O Lord, let thy grace make them sick. O Lord, to seek, to press after thee, to feel a need of thee, because the solemn truth of their sin opened up to their consciences. And Lord, that thou art the sinner's friend. Lord, we do pray, appear. Be with us then, Lord. Keep us close to thyself. Rule and reign in our hearts and lives. Be that one to go before us in the way. Show to us, Lord, that way and path that thou wilt have us to go. And, Lord, in our pilgrimage journey here, we do pray, Lord, for thy guiding hand. Thou hast brought us thus far, Lord. And yes, Lord, we've met with many opposites. We've met with trials and afflictions. We've met with difficulties, with bereavements, with sorrows and disappointments. But we do pray and thank thee, Lord, that we have one to turn to, and that, Lord, we would come at thy bidding. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, there is no other hiding place, no other refuge for the poor and the needy of thy people, and those who sorrow, those who mourn, and those who cry over the desolations in their own hearts. Oh, that there is mercy with thee. And so, Lord, we do pray, help us to trust thee, Lord. Put all our confidence in thee, and that we might know that real and true submission to thy holy and sovereign will in all things. Lord, thou knowest the things that are good for us, better than we know ourselves. May we never murmur or complain against Thee. May we never speak against Thee, Lord, but help us to walk humbly before Thee. For Thy people, Lord, are an afflicted and a tried people. And yet, Lord, it has been divinely appointed so. And Lord, are we not, in that very real sense and way, following our Lord and Master? We can never, Lord, walk in that path that Thou didst walk. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. A man despised and rejected of men. A man scorned and mocked. A man indeed thought to be an impostor. O Lord Jesus, may we never think of Thee as such, but may we be helped, Lord, to follow and to know, Lord Jesus, that Thou didst pass through was indeed for Thy people. And Thou didst continue and endure. And, O Lord, to the cross. This is our mercy, Lord, today, as we gather together in Thy name. That Thou didst, Lord, go forth to Calvary. The wounds and the bruises, the suffering, in which, Lord, we desire to remember Thee later. But it was for sinners, Lord. Those out of the way, those in darkness, those in ignorance, those in desolation. And that, Lord, the rich mercy of salvation through Thy precious blood to cleanse and to heal from all sin. But help us, Lord, to follow in Thy footsteps in measure, to suffer persecution, to suffer reproach, and not to be ashamed of Jesus. O Lord, may we never blush in respect, Lord Jesus, of those things that Thou hast done for us and upon the cross at Calvary. O Lord, may we never blush that Thou, Lord Jesus, was in our room and in our place. Lord, keep us close to Thee. Rule and reign in our hearts and lives. Be that one, Lord Jesus, to guide us all our journey through. Help us to commit our all unto Thee, to know the throne of grace, and to tell Thee all our heart. Lord, we live in a dark and an evil day, and truly, Lord, we see it, behold it, everywhere, and that man goeth forth to please self, to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, to seek the vanities, the pleasures of this life. And truly, Lord, death and destruction in all, the temporal things that shall one day pass away. And Lord, we do thank Thee. Oh, keep us close to Thyself. Help us to seek those things that are spiritual and eternal and in the heavens, to seek and to find union and communion with Thee. And Lord, to know the truth, to redeem the time, for the days are evil. But we do pray, Lord, that Thou wilt work mightily in this land of ours, this land that hath forsaken Thee, forgotten Thee, turned their back upon Thee, despised Thee, Lord. Desecrate Thy day, blaspheme Thy name. And Lord, those in high government and power, establishing laws contradictory to thy word and scripture. O Lord Jesus, what solemn judgments belong unto us. O confusion of face belongeth unto us. O Lord, have mercy upon this land of ours. Turn the hearts of many to thyself. Nothing is too hard for thee, Lord. Do show mercy. And Lord, work in the hearts and lives of sinners. Oh, may there be that calling even this day of many sinners out of darkness unto light. And Lord, establish this nation, a nation, Lord, with the fear of the Lord in their hearts. And Lord, we pray as we consider these things for those that are near and dear to us and connected with us in the worship of thy name. Lord, have mercy. O Lord, our children's children, oh, we would not forget them, Lord. We come to thee, Lord, who art able to do great things and nothing too hard for thee, Lord. Thou art able to change, to renew. Thou art able to convert and redeem. And Lord, we commit them into thine ever-merciful hands, that they might know the blessedness of redeeming love and blood. That thou, Lord, wouldest change the heart, renew the will, turn their feet to Zion's hill. Lord, we do pray for these mercies. We pray, Lord, for the flourishing of thy kingdom, the enlarging of thy kingdom. We do know, Lord, that 144,000, Lord, that complete and perfect number. We do believe, Lord, that truly that number is being fulfilled. And what a mercy, Lord. Sinners saved by grace. Sinners saved by grace. Gather in, Lord, all those whom thou hast ordained to eternal life. Help thy people here, Lord. Help them as they seek to worship thee week by week. Bless them with thy presence, Lord, and thy spirit. And we do pray, Lord, that there may be an enlarging of thy kingdom, Lord, in this place. Oh, that there may be those, Lord, and we seek it for each and every one, that shall know the Lord Jesus Christ in his love and mercy at Calvary, that thou art able to forgive crimson sins. Thou art able, Lord, to remove all guilt and defilement. Thou art able, Lord, to bless sinners through thy redeeming blood with pardon and forgiveness. We commit these things to thee, Lord. Be mindful of our prayers. Draw near to us now, Lord, and help thy servant, that he may be enabled to speak in thy name. O Lord, we pray that through thy Spirit teach him what to say. Let it be thy word, Lord. Let it be a good word. Let it be a word of encouragement, Lord. Let it be a word to the faith of thy people, Lord, that they may be blessed this evening hour. Be with each one of us then, sower and reaper together. Subdue all sin. Let not sin have dominion over us, Lord. We seek and ask these mercies in and through the name and person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
hymn number 975. He comes, the Saviour full of grace, by ancient prophets sung, the smile of mercy on his face, and truth upon his tongue. Hymn 975.
Seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would return to our text that we held this morning, Psalm 89, and we read together from verse 1. Psalm 89, reading together from verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. What a wonderful blessing it is that there are a people, a upon the earth who will never cease to sing of the mercies of the Lord. Do believe that when mercy has been known and realized in the salvation of our souls, that God should come to us, that he should reveal and manifest his love to us and show to us his mercy. Where is his mercy? In the person of his dearly beloved Son. I'm going to speak of his faithfulness this evening. But these must be two of God's greatest attributes towards his people: his mercy and his faithfulness. I do believe that we shall know and realize this mercy of our God and his faithfulness in every part and aspect of our lives. His mercy is shown to us in Jesus. His faithfulness is shown to us in Jesus. Outside of Christ, outside of Jesus, God is a consuming fire. There is no doubt about that, dear friends. We shall never know God's mercy and God's faithfulness unless it is through Jesus and his cross. And if there is a place, Calvary, where we know and understand more fully the mercy and the faithfulness of our God, it is here, dear friends, that we shall truly be blessed. We closed this morning with those who will be seekers for his mercy. And we quoted a word in respect of that from Isaiah 55, and where the Lord has bidden sinners to seek him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. It is through Jesus, and he is faithful to that word. We have spoken of his mercies. We will speak of his faithfulness. The word that he has spoken, friends, he will not fail to fulfill. And this must be of encouragement to any seeker seeking the mercy of the Lord, that God is faithful. He will pardon. He will forgive sin. And when it says abundantly, dear friends, think of the multitude of thy sins. This abundantly covers them all. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I believe that the psalmist Ethan here, he would speak of the faithfulness of his God. But it says to all generations, it was impossible that he could do it to all generations. But the faithfulness of our God is in this. Isn't his gospel preached today? Isn't his faithfulness preached to all generations? Isn't it not so a faithful word? It will be to the end of time. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Just want to speak of the faithfulness of our God. He has always been that one faithful to his church, to his people. Moses set forth and declared this truth before the children of Israel. That the Lord was faithful to his people. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Many have proved this to be a truth. Do we prove it to be a truth for ourselves in a personal way? That he is a faithful God? Is it a word for us, dear friends? Let us just see one or two things where we may come into the faithfulness of our God. There may be those things that we may take knowledge of day by day. One thing is certain in respect of the faithfulness of God. He will not fail to show his faithfulness. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night, shall not cease. Oh, that was a faithful word, wasn't it? Has it ceased from the time that he spake it? Has it ceased? Is it a faithful word? Do we not observe and know it for ourselves? While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night, they've continued. Generation after generation, the world continues. And this is a truth that we have today. We're in the experience of this today. That God is faithful. We behold it, naturally speaking. One of the mercies of this word is this truth. Peter, I believe it's in his second epistle, and in chapter 3 says this, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Friends, the world is kept in store by the word of our God. It has been kept in store. He has made every provision for us. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. It doesn't matter what these environmentalists say, dear friends. Carbon emissions, all that silliness. Scientists aren't going to keep the earth in its balance. It is by the word of his mouth. A faithful God. And he is our God. and we take knowledge of this, he is faithful. All things shall perish. But today, we're in a day of grace. And while the world continues, while there are those born into this world, there is a number, an election by grace, who will be called by the gospel. Now this is the next part of our subject. God is faithful in respect of this truth. He is faithful in respect of the covenant of his grace. The covenant of his grace showeth to us very clearly that God loved a people. Yes, before the earth was formed, he loved a people from all eternity. That people were to be born upon this earth. He knew them. He knew them by name. We'll just see a scripture in respect of this. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, thou Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. A covenant of grace was made for these. Jesus said to his disciples, rejoice in that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice. This, dear friends, is where God began with us, with his eternal, everlasting love. Some from lost mankind should know the blessedness of redeeming love and blood. He made a covenant, and that covenant ordered in all things and sure shows to us very clearly that in the person and in the gift of his dearly beloved Son, whom he sent into this world to gather his church to himself, God was faithful. Let us see just for a moment, dear friends, that work of grace, and where each and every one shall be brought to God himself. We read together in Hosea, remembering that God loved a people. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. Each and every one whom God loved will be allured by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross of Christ. There will be no mistaking about it. They will be allured because God hath spoken. And we read together, I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. Oh, this is the faithful. Where is that faithfulness of our God? Betrothing his people to himself. Where is that faithfulness of our God? It is in his covenant, ordered in all things and sure. The church were given to Jesus to save and to redeem. He came read the 53rd of Isaiah again and again. There is God's covenant to his people. That dear suffering man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is the blessing that we read together in Corinthians and in chapter 1 and verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called. Everyone will be called, dear friends. It is a mercy to be a seeker. And this truth, God is faithful. He that hath begun a good work in you is faithful to that work. He will not cease from that work. He will not put that work down, dear friends. Oh, he loved thee. He loves thy soul, dear friends. That work begun, he will continue it. Oh, this is an encouragement, surely, to poor coming sinners, seeking to know the blessing of salvation, waiting upon the Lord. Oh, if he has troubled thy soul, if he has burdened thy soul with sin, friends, it is a good affliction. I know that to be true. It is a good affliction. It will bring thee to nothing, dear friends. Sin. I'll tell you why it will bring you to nothing, dear friends. Behold Jesus on the cross. That is where it will bring you. Helpless, ruined, vile and base. But Jesus loved such. God is faithful, by whom ye were called. Think of the terrible state this church of Corinth were in before the gospel came to them. And friends, we cannot describe the manner of sin and the evil of their lives. It was awful, dear friends. But God is faithful. Oh, there was a remnant, a few whom God loved. Isn't this our mercy today? Oh, dear friends, I hope that each and every one here are praying people. People who have a great need of Jesus. People bowed down with their sin. But oh, to flee to Jesus. To flee to his cross. God-given faith. No, God is faithful. He will not leave thee, friends, to suffer that burden of thy sin. He sent his dearly beloved son, dear friends, to be the sin bearer of his people. That is the mercy. It is a mercy to be rendered helpless and suing for mercy. There's nothing for the sinner to do. Come as thou art, in all thy helplessness, all thine insufficiency, all thy worthlessness. Jesus came to such, and to save such. God is faithful. He will not fail. He that hath begun a good work will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is a mercy, friends, that thy soul is precious to the dear Lord Jesus. Have you ever been brought to discover how precious thy soul is? Let thy faith take thee to Calvary. See how precious thou art to Jesus. See that man suffering. The crown of thorns, the stripes, the wounds, the bruises. An ignominious death as well. But see him in thy room and place. And this is the mercy. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Wonderful fellowship in union with the Lamb, from condemnation free, all thy sins washed away, complete and whole through the blood and righteousness of Jesus, justified, accepted unto God the Father, blessed with eternal life. God is faithful. And then, dear friends, God is faithful in many parts and aspects of our lives. Just want one or two instances of God's faithfulness where we may see that he never failed his people, never failed them, never let them down. No. I thought of Joseph. The Lord came to him with his word. It was in a dream, but it was his word. That's how he spake to his people in those days. Gave him the parable of the sheaves and so forth. And that Joseph should have some preeminence, and that they should so show obeisance to him. Well, his brethren despised him for that. And then the sun and the moon and the stars, you see, that he should have obeisance, that they should have obeisance to him also, his mother and his father. And they were envious. They cast him into a pit. The Lord was with him. He was delivered from the pit, sold to Midianites, taken into Egypt, in the house of Potiphar. You know, what he met with there, Potiphar's wife, the solemn truth, she tried to allure him. What a mercy that Joseph had grace in his heart. He could not sin and offend against his God. Friends, isn't it true? Isn't it the love of Christ that constraineth us, burnt into our souls as it were, holding us fast to him? But you see, Joseph, he had to prove the word of the Lord. It proved him, it tried him. You see, he went into jail, suffered much. How could ever that word be fulfilled? How ever could it come to pass? Whatever could it mean? Where is the outcome of it? And the Lord raised him up. He could interpret dreams, brought him out of the prison house, gave him favor in Egypt. Pharaoh, he was one only below Pharaoh. and then a famine in the land. You know, the faithfulness of God is being shown continually. Joseph did not see the end of it yet. But then he did come to the end of it. He did see the end of it. But see how Joseph was that one indeed who continued. The word of the Lord tried him. He knew his God wouldn't fail him. And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And you see, the picture, it came to an end. A great deliverance. And that Joseph was used an instrument in his hand. But see how God was faithful. There seemed to be so many contradictions, didn't there, in his life. How could that word be fulfilled? How could it come to pass? God's wise dealings with his people. He will try our faith. Test our faith. I thought of David. He was anointed to be king over Israel. Then those many years in the wilderness, Saul pursuing from behind, enemies before. What a path he walked out. How could he ever be king of Israel? Seemed to be another contradiction in his way and path. Friends, what was Joseph and what was David proving? The faithfulness of God. Oh, they were going to see the blessedness and the faithfulness of God. And friends, we may have had a word from the Lord ourselves. He will bring it to pass. He will not fail. No, friends. I thought of Jacob and the words shown to us, "Behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee till I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." Well, Jacob had a lot of trouble, didn't he, when he went to Laban? But the Lord was faithful. You know, we have something here, friends, to rely, to depend and to trust in. We have our God, dear friends. Faithful to his people, faithful to his cause, faithful to his covenant. He will not fail. He will not let his people down. Never. The Lord came to Jacob ultimately. And the Lord said unto Jacob, "Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." Oh, he promised. He was faithful. And Joseph returned. I don't very often speak of myself. But if there is grace, I ask the Lord that he might use it. This was the word that the Lord gave to me. He said unto Jacob, "Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." I held and embraced that word by faith. I was to be removed from my home in Yorkshire and return to the land of my fathers and to my kindred, the West Midlands. The Lord gave me that word. I began to make arrangements as Jacob did. And I left the whole of the matter with the Lord. Let us never question, friends, or let us never doubt the Lord in his way concerning us. His word is faithful. The Lord gave me faith in that word, and I embraced it, and I left every arrangement to him in difficult times. My house went for sale. There was a house opposite. There was a house next door. There was a house a little way up the street. They'd been on the market for, well, one or two of them for a year or two. The house across the road a little bit longer than mine. There was only one house sold, dear friends. One house sold. The business of that was with the Lord, not with me. And it is the Lord that removed me. And it is the Lord that provided me with another house. He told me that he would give me another house. He told me that he would bring me to that house. He said, I will send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee to the place that I have prepared. And he brought me to that place that he had prepared. God is faithful. You know the words of our text. We speak of his faithfulness. He will never let his people down, dear friends. He will never fail them. It must be an encouragement to us. His will and his purpose has been fulfilled. And I can speak of his faithfulness. And the Lord has given to us many gracious promises. All the promises of God are yea and in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, yea and in him, amen, to the glory of God by us. And he is faithful in every word and every promise that he has shown unto his people. The scriptures, dear friends, are filled with the promises of God, all blessed to us through the person of his dearly beloved Son. And friends, we abide in his word and in his promises towards us. We haven't got anything else to hope in and to trust in at all but his word and his truth. This is what we rely on. This is what we depend upon. This is what we trust in. And he has made gracious promises to us. I'll just quote one or two. That is all. But I do believe that you will understand the truth of his promises to us. I thought of Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The Lord has promised to help his people, hasn't he? He has promised to put forth his hand, saying unto them, fear not, I will help thee. That is his promise. That is what he has spoken to us. But friends, it is incumbent upon us to go to him for help. He has made the promise. Go to him for that help. He will not fail in the promise. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth, dear friends, our God. No other help will do for the Lord's dear people. None whatsoever. It is the help of our God. And the word that we read together, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. He can do anything for us, dear friends. He is faithful to his word. But haven't we proved it? Haven't we proved it? Have we come to him for help? Have we proved his faithful word? You see, God is faithful. I will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber as he kept thee. We haven't kept ourselves, dear friends. I've known the truth of that. But I cannot keep myself. I've been shown it by experiences. The Lord is my only keeper. And he is thy only keeper. None else. And friends, we don't want anyone else to keep us. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. And friends, he will be thy keeper to thy dying day. But he will keep thee and thy never dying soul. It will return unto him. He will keep thy never dying soul, for it will never be lost. He will keep it. It's his work, his grace. He will bring it to himself. The body will come to the ground. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. That is our mercy today. He will preserve thee from all evil. Friends, he will bring us to our course. Here below, keep us from all evil. It was the prayer of the Lord Jesus, I pray that thou wilt not take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. And friends, hasn't he done so? Hasn't he been faithful? With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. What about, friends, the afflictions and the troubles and the trials that we're brought to pass through? What about those, dear friends? The Lord is faithful in those. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. You know, the Lord is good, isn't he? When he will afflict us, when he will bring us into trouble, trial and difficulty, is it something that we can hardly understand? That it is in his faithfulness, friends, he will correct us and he will chasten us for our sins, for our backslidings, for our wanderings. And friends, when he is afflicting us, when he is troubling us, you see, when he is correcting us, friends, when he is chastising us, he is loving us. His loving us. His love never ceases. It's in his love. That is his correction. And it's in his faithfulness. He doesn't give thee up, dear friends. He's faithful. I believe that David understood this many times. He realized many failings. But the Lord afflicted him, and he afflicted him in his righteousness, and he might afflict us, friend, and it will be in his righteousness if he will correct thee. Friends, I've known this truth myself. An occasion, dear friend, the Lord laid me low. He brought me to nothing. And I admit to this truth. That he showed to me my proud nature. And he took it from me in a moment. He laid me low. Friends, I couldn't crawl closer to the earth. Shame. But he corrected me. And I prayed to him. And my prayer was so broken. I couldn't put a prayer together. I was so broken up. It was with groanings which could not be uttered. But the Lord put it all together and understood it. I know that. He brought me back. He brought me, friends, off the pedestal and plinth of pride and made me nothing. And it was in his faithfulness. He never withdrew his love. Isn't that our mercy today? And then, friends, we have besetting sins. We will be mourners over sin all our days. It will be a trouble to us. It will be a burden to us. Carnality, a carnal nature, evil thoughts, surmisings, a body of death. When I would do good, evil is present with me. The good that I would, that I do not. Evil that I would not, that I do. Oh, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Let us just see the faithfulness of our God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Faithful and just. To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, the mercy of our God, a faithful God. Let us speak of his faithfulness. Just a few thoughts in closing. From verse 5 and verse 7 also. This Psalm 89 holds the faithfulness of our God on many occasions. I think it's repeated 6 or 7 times, the faithfulness of our God. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. And then in verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. His faithfulness is here, dear friends. His faithfulness is here. His promise to be where the 2s and the 3s gather together in his name. He's faithful, friends. Have we proved him to be faithful? He is faithful. He communicates his love to us. And he sent his faithful ministers to preach the gospel. Is he faithful, dear friends? Thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. It may mean, dear friends, the whole congregation of the saints, the church as a whole, the body of Christ. But this little unit here, dear friends, this little body of seekers, his faithfulness is shown here. You see, the congregation of his people and where they meet together. And he is faithful in respect of the word that he will send amongst them and speak to them. The preaching of the gospel, the setting forth of Christ in all the blessedness of his salvation. Is he not faithful, dear friends? Doesn't he not show to us continually that way and means of salvation? Isn't there hope here for sinners? He's faithful. And then, haven't we come to the Lord's house, dear friends? And the Lord has met our needs in the gospel. He's faithful in the congregation of his people. Has he given us a word in season? Has he come to our case and need? Friends, he is faithful. Oh, I can declare many times it is so with me, but isn't it so with you also? Can we not come into this together? I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Here is the blessedness and fullness of the gospel shown to us in the person of Jesus. The preaching of the word. He has set watchmen upon the walls of Jerusalem. Day and night, dear friends, they are never to hold their peace, dear friends. He is faithful. And friends, another truth, and I'll just close on this. Isn't he gathering his church to himself? Isn't he bringing them in, dear friends, through Jesus and his gospel? Here is the faithfulness of God in the congregation of the saints. Notice in particular, friends, the word saints. It isn't a word that we always apply to ourselves, is it? But it must be so. It must be so. Can be nothing less than a saint. This is how God sees us and looks upon us. But the Lord will gather his people to himself. And they shall all be made saints, dear friends. Grace, changed and renewed. I pray that we each may then be enabled to make known his faithfulness to all generations. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £740, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Ince will administer the Lord's Supper after this service, and Mr. Izzard will preach on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 403. Come, every gracious heart that loves the Saviour's name, your noblest powers exert to celebrate his pain. Tell all who fear the Lord below, the debt of love to him you owe. Hymn 403.
Thank you.
Bless the services of thy house this day. Those things that have been attended to in thy name, thy worship, Lord. And we thank thee, Lord, for the means of grace. And we thank thee, Lord, for the assembly and the company of thy people. Pardon all that has been amiss and sinful with us. Draw near to us as we seek to remember thee, the ordinance of thy supper. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and forever. Amen.